Oh, it's the rabbi here.
I think the rabbi's here.
Oh, my God. Thank God. The rabbi. Rabbi Eger, welcome to the show, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, sir.
We've got Billy Masters hosting with me today. I hope you know Billy from L.A. Pride and other places.
Hi, Billy.
Good to hear from you.
And you, too. Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Rabbi, I know Hanukkah comes a little late in December this year. I think it starts December 22 or something like that. But I figured
we
would get a head start because we always feel like poor Hanukkah doesn't get its due. It's just due. We just got to jam Hanukkah in there somewhere.
Well, but it lasts a while.
It does. They got 7 days.
It does. It got 8 whole nights.
Yeah, you don't get the impact of Christmas. Oh, my God.
Rabbi, what is your Hanukkah message going to be 2019? I mean, we are in some really weird and bizarre dark times. And so times like this, we rely on our clergy to, like, show us the way forward.
Well, I first of all, I want to just share with you, both of you and all of the people that are listening, even in the darkest of times, we have to seek the light. And that is the message of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a holiday, the festival of lights, and it is about the time of rekindling and reigniting our resistance and our passion. And that is the message of Hanukkah. You know, the history of Hanukkah is one of the first holidays that marks the fight against oppression and religious freedom. It's actually something that happened in real history, not just kind of the myths of creation, but the holiday of Judah Maccabee, who was the leader of the resistance, and his father, against the Syrian Greeks, who wanted to impose their ways upon the people of ancient Israel. And Judah and his brothers, and five of them, and his father, Mattathias, resisted and led basically guerrilla warfare, one of the first examples of guerrilla warfare against the Syrian Greek army. And against all odds, and this is where the inspiration for Hanukkah comes, against all odds, against the greatest army in the world, they prevailed.
You know, I just learned something. All this time I thought, well, it's all about the chocolate Hanukkah gilt. That's what
and the oil.
And the oil. Listen, and the Hanukkah candle with 8 candles
on
it.
But those are the
bonuses. We know the rituals.
That's the presence and the celebration that came afterwards. But the story behind it is one that we, as particularly as LGBTQ people, should take to heart when we're talking about people trying to change who we are with the continuing oppression, with the use of conversion therapy upon our lives. We have to fight back at every ounce and moment that we have, and it gets tiring. Listen, those of us who've been fighting for years for LGBTQ rights, it's exhausting, and we have to, all of us, take inspiration wherever we can in our community and our relationships with one another. And this holiday of Hanukkah is all about helping us rekindle that light and that fire. That's what the Maccabees did in the ancient temple. Once they defeated that horrible oppression, they cleaned up the ancient temple sitting on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and they rekindled the light of the menorah. And that's what
this
we do when we light the menorah.
In, right.
This is where finally we're to the oil part. Yeah.
That's when we, because the oil lasted.
Yes.
And so we rekindle the light, and that's what we have to do in ourselves in these dark times, is rekindle our light inside by our community involvement with
one
another.
What a lovely Hanukkah message.
Can I ask a question? You talked about fighting back. After the fighting back, when does the embracing of the enemies and trying to get along, how does that fit in with the fight?
You know, that's a really important question that you ask. And that takes some time, Billy. That takes time on both sides for traumas to heal. And then we live, at least in the Jewish world, and I think in the Christian world too, is that message of love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we have to dig deep into those messages and allow that embrace to happen.
Yeah,
but it does take time. It can't,
and we're not saints.
You know, we had Thanksgiving dinner at my family's house, and my brother and sister are Trump people, and my uncle is a Trump supporter, and I just had to, like, you know, grin and bear it and smile, and you know what? This is my family. I'm going to love them. Donald Trump will come and go, but this is my family, and I don't agree with them, and it's going to have to be okay.
But does your uncle treat you the same way.
Absolutely.
So yeah. that's the key, I suppose, is that you have understanding on both sides.
You know, I don't even think they believe half the stuff Donald Trump stands for, but it's just like that.
Well, he doesn't.
They're so tribal. I guess maybe the Democrats are really tribal, too, I guess.
We dig in.
I think you're right, John. I think everybody's very hunkered down in their position. And the question is to be able to rise above that and to see people as real people. A lot of times we only see each other with our tribal costumes on and not get beyond the costume and get to the heart of the person.
Now, yeah, your synagogue, is it conservative or is it reform?
No, we're proud members of the Reform movement and have been for many, many, from our beginning, and have done a lot of work to create LGBTQ equality. In fact, we're going this coming week to our General Assembly, our biennial in Chicago, where I have a really historic book being put out about that's filled with LGBTQ prayers and meditations and reflections. And it's called Where Pride Dwells, and it's going to be available starting in end of February, beginning of March. But we might be able to have a deal for your listeners.
That would be awesome.
Definitely
a pre-order deal.
Yes,
but perhaps a holiday gift.
It's so historic because this is the first time any major religious denomination has published LGBTQ prayers, reflections, and meditations. And it's interesting, some of our leading activists have pieces of reflections. Roberta Kaplan, Evan Wolfson, the attorneys on marriage equality, Bruce Vilanch and Robin Tyler, some of our great queer comedians, they have reflections in this about their inspirational material.
Oh, I heard about this. My friend Alan Rich had told me about this, correct?
Yes.
Congregation Kol Ami has been around since when, Rabbi?
We were founded in 1992.
Okay.
So we've been West Hollywood's Reform Synagogue since that time, and a congregation that's primarily LGBTQ, and one of the only congregations in the country that has two queer clergy people.
And I know you're like the head rabbi for all the Western rabbis, or what is the title?
I'm now past president, but I was the first gay person, lesbian person to be president of all of the Reform Rabbis internationally from 2015 to 2017.
That's awesome.
So I continue to serve in leadership roles in our denomination. It was a pretty historic time.
Yeah, wonderful.
Are those numbers still going up as time goes on? More people turning to faith?
You know what? We have to go to commercial. Hold that question, Rabbi. When we come back, we'll start right there at that question. Thanks for tuning in, gang, here on Channel Q. Adam Sandler's Happy Hanukkah. There you go, Rabbi. We thought we'd play that.
Do you sing that in the temple?
You sing that, Rabbi, on the Sabbath?
Yeah, we do sing it in the temple. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, all right.
I love it. Gang, we're talking to Rabbi Denise Eger from Congregation Kol Ami, and Billy Masters is hosting in studio with me today. So.
Co-hosting. I'm not just doing
it
alone.
Co-hosting.
No one does it alone.
Rabbi, right before the break, Billy asked a really important question. People going back to faith, right, Billy?
You were talking about the growth in the outreach that you've had around the world, and so I'm curious, how are the numbers skewing in these times that we've talked about, people having questions of faith and trouble times in our government?
People are so hungry. They have a spiritual hunger that's overwhelming, and they often don't know where to turn. I see it every day, people calling and checking, trying to check in. They're not necessarily going to traditional institutions where there's a lot of fear about whether there'll be acceptance for queer people, but they're seeking out congregations like mine that are founded and rooted in queer community and looking and hungry for answering those life questions, and most of all finding meaning in community and solidarity. And so that's a really important part of this search for meaning that I think is part of the journey of life.
You know, Rabbi, I've known you such a long time, and you and I have walked a path together through HIV and AIDS and all the people we had to bury, and then, of course, the fight for the military service, and after that, the fight for marriage equality. And now here we are, you know, into a brand new year, 2020, you know, with, I think, people resisting the current government but hoping for a better future. What do you envision for our people as we move forward?
Well, I think that's a great question, John. One of the things I've been concerned about is actually people's exhaustion levels and not showing up because the work is far from done. And especially when you look at the global situation of queer people, there's still many cases a century behind where we are. And so we need people to remember that even if here in California or in a certain parts of our country are comfortable with our lives, we have queer people on television, it's not so good for a lot of people, even here at home. Yep. And look at what's happened with our trans service members and being summarily dismissed from our own military. The rise of right-wing nationalism here in our country that is hostile and violent toward LGBTQ people. The rise in hate crimes against trans women of color in particular. So we have a lot more work to do, and I think that is got to be the focus of our movement, and helping this younger generation of queer folk energize and be out in the streets with us old timers.
I think one of the good things is that we're hearing this rise of problems against, say, the trans members of our community, against women. I think that I don't know if the numbers are rising so much as the consciousness and the discussion is rising. And I think in an older era, these things would have happened and nobody would have reported them. So the fact that we are discussing them, in a way, I think it gives rise to the negative side, but it also incrementally helps the positive side.
Yeah, I think that's in part true, really. And I hope that folks will see that they also have a sense of responsibility and obligation towards one another in our own community, our own queer community, to join together to support one another, whether it's our queer infrastructure, our organizations that work on behalf of people with HIV, or our community centers, or our national organizations, political organizations. We need everyone in our queer community to participate at some level and to roll up their sleeves and help change the world to make it the place we want it to be.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I tell young people, especially a rabbi, is that at the root of transphobia and at the root of homophobia is misogyny. It is the hatred of women, or the notion of women being equal, that is so threatening to a certain category of men. Not all men, but there's a certain group of men that get hostile to that notion. So anything that they perceive as being effeminate or feminine, or if a man's not acting quote unquote like a man, or mm-hmm. if a trans woman in their mind is trying to be something that they're not, which they are, mm-hmm. that is the violent repulsion that happens within them that leads them to attack violently.
Well, and in this era of toxic masculinity, we see how that's played out.
Yeah.
And bullying. I think that comes from the governmental environment. I know that you mentioned something that reminded me of Joe Biden when he put his hat in the ring and said he was fighting for the soul of this country. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that you're fighting for as well. It's something that we can all agree on.
I work every day on behalf of the souls of our community. Not only do I pray for them, but I hope that everyone in our LGBTQ plus community and our allies can work together to uplift our common soul, not only as a queer community, but as of our nation. It needs to be transformed. And we queer people are the key to that transformation, I believe.
Yeah. Rabbi, we got less than a minute left. You want to tell us about your upcoming Hanukkah services or website?
Yeah, we have some great, great things happening to celebrate Hanukkah this Sunday, December 8th, at Congregation Kol Ami in West Hollywood on La Brea. The Golden Gelt Room presents Liz Glazer, lesbian comic, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. with some casino games, raffles, and great food and music. Tickets are available at kol-ami.org, kol-ami.org, or just come on down, 1200 North La Brea in West Hollywood at the corner of Lexington. And then on Friday the 27th at 7 p.m., I think, is our fabulous Hanukkah festival service during Hanukkah. We bring your menorah, we light them all together, great food, latkes, potato pancakes, dreidels, Hanukkah... Chocolate Gelt, John, just for you.
Yes.
And a lot of great music, including Adam Sandler's 8 Crazy Nights.
I love it. We invite
both of you and all of your listeners to both of those great events this Sunday, December 8th, 4 to 6, the Golden Gelt Room at Congregation Kol Ami. And then again, Friday the 27th during Hanukkah, 7 p.m. at Congregation Kol Ami, West Hollywood.
Rabbi, happy Hanukkah and a happy new year to you. Gang, when we come back.
Happy new year, guys.
Thank you. When we come back, we'll be talking to the diva, Jennifer Lewis, here on Sidebar with John Duran.